Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Podcast today is we're concluding our great interview with Jake Dobrins. Now, Jake is the author of a truly magnificent book titled Who We Are. It's just been released, and he's also the founder of Theophany Media. It's a Christian media company based out in Oklahoma. And in Jake's book, as we're going to get into this interview, you'll see that Jake will enlighten you and help you to identify some possible false identities you may have adopted as part of being, let's just say, normal, right? But he doesn't only identify them for you. He shares a new, better identity to adapt that is more Christ-like in the process. Amen. Jake is also the host of a truly magnificent podcast called The Bible But Funnier, and, well, it is. Glory to God. I absolutely love his podcast. I've listened to every single episode, and we'll talk about that as well. Now, let's go ahead and jump back into the conclusion of my great interview with Jake Dobrins. Well, you talked about the seven identities that Christians may adopt, but they're not really Christian honoring in their foundation. Can you explain what you mean and share these seven identities with us?
Yeah, so some of these identities are just probably, most of these identities are not like bad per se. They're just not ones we should focus on. So the first one I talk about is the identity in sin. And this is one I have to be careful about because we are sinful people. There is a sense in which that's a part of us. But I want to resist the temptation to say, to focus too much on our sin, to suggest that we are only sin. And so I kind of counteract that with an identity in grace because our actual identity is in grace, which covers our sin. So we can't throw out sin completely. We have to recognize, yeah, we are prone to do that, but grace is our ultimate identity. And then I also talk about these false identities of success, your past, happiness. Those are things that, well, you know, it's aware of how your past affects you today. Or it's not necessarily bad to have success, but hey, if that's your number one priority, we got a problem.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure we're not focusing on that. Then I also talk about family, which is an interesting one, but Jesus says some kind of harsh things about family, and there are ways in which your family can be too much of your identity, sometimes for good or sometimes for bad. Maybe your family is the star of the town, and you guys are, you know, famous. That could have negative effects, or maybe your family isn't the talk of the town, or at least not for good reasons. Yeah, so those are ways talk, that I can, right. And then the last two false identities are sexual freedom, which, I mean, is an important one in our modern culture. I don't want to dismiss the fact that, you know, we as humans have sexuality, but there are definitely ways that can become way too much a part of our identity and a part of how we act. Mm-hmm. And then the final one are groups. And I talk about several groups, political groups or certain associations, sometimes even allegiances to denominations that just get out of hand.
Yeah.
And I want to rein us in and say, ultimately, our allegiance is to the kingdom of God, not to these earthly groups.
Yeah.
So those are some of the identities I talk about. There could probably be way more false identities. I mean, I know there are. And there are way more positive, Christ-centered identities. There are way more ways to be like Christ. But, you know, seven, kind of a godly number, and it's a little more palatable. So I kind of stick with those seven.
Amen. Amen. And these identities are not totally sinful in nature, though, right?
Right. They're not sinful. I mean, like the happiness one was kind of a hard one because like the phrase, does God want you to be happy, is a hard one because Yeah. I mean, it's good when people are happy. I don't think God wants us to be depressed all the time, but ultimately our purpose as Christians isn't to be the ones with the biggest smiles on our faces because of we're living our dream and we have all the money and all the pleasures and comforts. That's not our goal. That smile should come from the way we live our life, our connection with Jesus. And ultimately, we shouldn't be so self-focused. We should be focused on others. That's what I talk about in that chapter. That's the problem. It's not bad to be happy, but if we're all about us, not about others, Houston, we have a problem.
Amen, amen. But why is it important, though, for Christians to think about their identity?
Yeah, I think in our culture, we're obsessed with identity for good and for bad reasons. And I think Christians have to think about it because culture is forcing us to think about it. We are not just blobs of meat floating in the universe. We are people with unique personalities and emotions. And we have to kind of face that fact. So we have to think about our identity. Though as Christians, we have to think about it in relation to Christ. Christ is our example, but more than that, comes in and transforms us. We become new creations. So if you are in the church, if you're in the society of Christian believers, that should change. Not just change how you act, but like literally change your inside, change your whole soul, change your whole trajectory, because you're a new creation. So Amen. It's important.
Yeah, amen. What are some issues that tend to pop up when we focus too much on our identity?
Well, when we focus too much on our identity, we kind of become obsessed with whatever kind of fleeting thought is at the forefront, whether we're obsessed with our happiness in a particular way or in getting a certain job or in certain people liking us. That sort of obsession ends up distracting us. So if we focus too much on the wrong identities, we're going to get in trouble because that's going to exclude time to focus on the right identities, to develop those Christ-like attitudes and behaviors and whole ways of living. So that's always my warning. Like I said earlier, I don't think we can avoid thinking or talking about identity, but let's be careful here. We're more than just, you know, that this standard kind of introductory at a meetup or a networking event. Yeah. Who are you and what do you do? Yeah. Like we talked about at the beginning of the interview, I am more than, you know, a playwright and a podcaster, etc. I am ultimately a child of God. That's my identity.
Exactly. And, you know, the Bible tells us that we're created in the image of God. Isn't that supposed to be our new identity?
Exactly. Yeah, in many ways, we're kind of getting back to the original design of things. We took a hard left turn, you know, in Eden, and we're kind of trying to get back to that. And Jesus is the way to show us this, because Jesus is fully human, fully God. Jesus has mastered what it means to have God inside us and have this transformed life. So we follow Jesus' examples and invite him into us to do some major construction inside our souls.
Amen. In your book, you list a positive identity to adapt that will replace the negative identity. Can you share these with us and the identity that they replace?
Yeah, so I'll go through the list. The negative identity of sin is replaced by God's grace. God's grace covers that. The negative identity of success is replaced by a true heart for God, not a heart for stuff. And then past is replaced with a future promise. We look forward into what God has in store for us rather than being caught up in what has happened before. Happiness is replaced by helping others, an others-focused attitude. Our earthly families, an identity in that is replaced by an identity in the family of God, a family that is more than flesh and blood. And then sexual freedom is replaced with faithful relationships, kind of an intentional way to look at how we relate to other people instead of just focused on our own sexuality and the pleasures that come with that. And then finally, the identity of earthly groups is replaced with the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that's a really good one to wrap up the book with, because ultimately what I want to take away from is, you know, our citizenship is not of this earth. It is in that kingdom, and that means something for who we are.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Hence the title of the book.
Hallelujah. Who we are. Amen. You also discussed the metaphors that the Apostle Paul used to describe this Christ-like identity. Share those with us. Are they the same ones that you've already shared?
Well, yeah, Paul uses a lot of different metaphors. New creation that I talked about, transformed, conformed to the image. You have a lot of these forms that kind of pop up. There's all sorts of them like that, that all sort of seem to kind of say the same kind of thing, like we're going to be something different when we are transformed. And I think the whole point of spiritual formation is to sort of be arrowed at Jesus. We're going in that direction, but to be a fully mature believer would be to be fully and maturely like Christ.
Yeah.
Which, don't think many people are going to reach that this side of heaven, but let's try. I mean,
amen.
That's the whole point. It's better for us and for the world.
It's better to try and not quite get there than not try at all. So,
definitely. Amen. Definitely.
Amen. If we try to change our own false identities with Christ-like identities, this isn't something that's going to happen like, okay, I changed that one, you know, and you know, like an overnight success type thing, right?
Oh, definitely not overnight success. Not like changing a shirt or something like that. Yeah. It is a big project. And what I try to leave with in the book, because this particular book isn't a practical step-by-step guide to do everything related to renovating your spiritual life. That would be a different book project. But what I try to do is give some beginning steps. I think identity is ultimately about your thinking, your behaving, and your feeling patterns. So I want to make sure that we kind of have the right things to believe, some right behaviors, and ultimately the right ways to feel. And so each of them, maybe not explicitly, each of the identities kind of touch on that. And then I wrap it up with a call to be in community. We need the church to do all this. The church is the location where we get this project going. Originally, the book was called Who Am I? But I decided to change it to Who We Are, because this is a corporate project. This is a community project. Mm-hmm. You and I don't do this. We don't do spiritual formation all by ourselves. You right. can't put on a new identity all by your lonesome. We need others. And ultimately, I hope that's the next step people take from this. They have the right thoughts and the behaviors and the feelings, but in order to do something with that, they need people. They need other people.
Yeah. Amen. Well, how can the church play a more significant role in helping us to adapt to true Christian identities?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of, really good preaching and Bible classes and opportunities to live out the calling through service projects and all that. And all that is totally important and very necessary. But at the end of the day, it's probably about relationships. Mm. The pastor at the pulpit needs to come down and relate to people and talk with people, take them out to lunch. But it's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities. Mm-hmm. If we don't know the person in the pew next to you, we're probably not doing much for their spiritual formation, and they're not doing much for ours. Sure. So we need to build that relationship. Yeah. That's what the church is supposed to be. You know, they're meeting together and they're sharing things. You know, they're praying together when someone's thrown in prison. They're just together. It's kind of a cliche term that we sometimes use in Christian culture, but you know, doing life together.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of has a biblical precedent.
When I was growing up, I would say every 2 or 3 months, the pastor of our church, and there was probably, I'd say 200 people in the church, you know, so let's say 100, 125 families, something like that. But about every 2 or 3 months, the pastor would come on Sunday afternoon and have dinner at our house, you know, and, you know, you don't see that anymore. And it's like every Sunday he'd be visiting another family. They'd invite him for dinner, something like that. So, you know, you get what, let's say 15 Sundays. We'll just say 16, so once every 4 months. And, you know, he would be visiting with other families that, you know, would come out and he'd have dinner with them and just get to know them. They get to know him and his family and things like that. And you don't see that anymore. I can't even remember anybody even talking about that, other than maybe the assistant pastor would have dinner with the pastor type thing. But it's it's never the pastor going to, you know, John Smith's house with the 7 kids and 2 dogs and, you know, all that to have dinner and just get to know them and all that. I wonder why that is, you know, why we become so interconnected on the internet, but disconnected from people.
Yeah, that's a big thing that there isn't an easy answer for that, but that's definitely something I'd love to address in a future project. I'm very interested in kind of a theology of social media, and I think, you know, online thing, communities like that, there's a lot of good, but there's something about embodied interaction, physical presence that is just different. And I think the pandemic has kind of showed us that. Yeah. You don't know how much you like it until you don't have it. Oh, wait, yeah. I like being with people and eating together and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So hopefully we'll see a shift in that. Once things start opening up a little bit more, we'll be able to be together and have these really good relationships with our fellow believers in our local community.
I know my grandkids, you know, used to be, oh, school's getting ready to start. The parents are rejoicing and stuff. And the kids are like, oh, I hate school. And now they're like, oh, we get to go to school next week.
Exactly. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Now, you also wrote a book titled Where to Submit Christian Writing, Freelance Opportunities for Short Faith-Based Writing. This isn't so much a book like Who We Are, but it's more of a reference guide for would-be Christian writers, correct?
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the work I do, as mentioned with Theophany Media, is supporting Christian artists, creatives, and writers. And I happen to be doing a lot of research for myself for finding different guest posting opportunities and places to submit magazines and stuff like that. And then next thing I know, wow, I have a whole giant list. Let's make it a book. So I have that. It's a little bit outdated because that is a 2020 version of things. So I'm brainstorming ways to either bring out another edition or to create some kind of website that features all those or something like that. But we'll see what the future brings.
Outdated? It's only 2021. How can it be?
Well, things move fast. I've already found a lot of the links are broken.
Really?
Wow. People change their submission guidelines. Ah. Yeah.
Yeah, amen, amen. Now, as we get ready to wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about your podcast, The Bible But Funnier. Now, I listen to every single episode. I have to admit, they are great. Tell us a little bit about this podcast and why you created it in this format.
Well, yeah, they're in the world of podcasts, and specifically Christian podcasts. There aren't a lot of storytelling podcasts. Most of them are interview style, like what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of thinking, well, where's there a gap in things? And one of the gaps was in sort of a creative approach to Bible stories. And because it wasn't going to be super hard to produce, I was like, well, let's give it a try. Let's start this podcast. So I created The Bible But Funnier, and it's been a really fun project to get to study these Bible stories and try to bring out some truth from them while using some humor and ridiculousness and occasionally sound effects. And I just think it's a fun way for people to see the Bible again for the first time. When you kind of play up the humor and you make jokes, sometimes people can realize, oh, that is kind of weird. Or, huh, I didn't realize that. Or, I never thought about that. That's really what I'm hoping to do with the humor. So like the very first episode was Jonah. Jonah's kind of a funny story.
Oh yeah.
Like it's pretty humorous. And I try to bring out some things that point out how he's kind of a terrible prophet. And, you know, the lesson here is obviously not be like Jonah. And so I try to bring out some of those truths while, you know, making fun of him getting stuck in the digestive tract of a giant fish and all that sort of stuff. So I hope it is a project that makes the Bible approachable. I'm specifically thinking of people who have, you know, read the Bible a lot. And it's a program that you can listen with your kids. It's, you know, all rated G. Mm-hmm. And hopefully people can kind of have this fun way to study and look at the Bible.
Yeah, amen, amen. It had me laughing the whole time. I mean, that's why I just let it keep going from one to the other to the next till I got all the way done. And they're not long. I mean, you know, it's, you know, short episodes.
Yeah.
But
they're all less than 15, usually around 10 minutes.
Yeah, I'd say 8 to 10 minutes right in that area was most of them. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Jake, this has been absolutely fascinating. I've learned some things. I know our listeners have learned some things as well. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to, you know, your book is, it'll be available on pre-order just about the time this podcast is released. I take it it'll be on Amazon, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So they can, if we don't have, at the time of this publication, if it's not available yet, I'm sure they can go through your website and get the pre-orders and all that stuff as well, right?
Yeah. My website is jakedobrins.com. You can also go to jakedobrins.com/who we are, and that will get you right to a landing page where you can see some information about the book and get a free sample of the intro and first chapter if you want to read that and check that out for free. You guys Amen. Can check that out.
Amen. And if someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or maybe do an interview like this, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Jake Dobrins. Most active on Twitter at Jake Dobrins. Dobrins, by the way, is Dobrenz. A little bit of a weird one.
Amen. But they could also, you got a contact form on your website too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. All that stuff is on the website. Everywhere I'm found on the web, jakedobrins.com.
Amen. Amen. Folks, I know you got a lot out of our interview today with Jake Dobrins. I mean, his works all for the body of Christ and the glory of God. I mean, they're awesome. Amen. He comes at sharing the gospel and sharing his faith in a unique way. It'll just bless you immensely. I mean, I listened to almost all the episodes in one sitting on his podcast already. I mean, they're that good. And his book, which will be released in mid-April, is titled Who We Are. And we'll share with you some valuable information as we discuss today. You need to get this book. It'll enlighten you. It'll help you to identify some possible false identities that you may have adapted as being, let's say, normal. But he doesn't only identify them for you. He shares a new, better identity to adapt that's more Christ-like in the process. Amen. And this is just an all-around great book that you need to add to your reading list. So go down the show notes, click the links there, get your pre-order copy today, go to his website, sign up for the subscription so that he can email you when it does become available on Amazon. Get this book. I've read this portion of it, and I'm telling you, I just can't say enough positive things about it, Jake. I mean, it's just awesome. And be Thank sure you. To reach out, get in touch, subscribe to his podcast. Oh, glory to God. You need to subscribe to the podcast. It is really, really good. I can't say enough about that. I enjoyed each episode. It had me laughing, but yet saying, huh, yeah, yeah, I can see that. Amen. It's just, you just have to experience it for yourself, folks. Amen. Jake, thank you for coming on the program today to discuss your great book, Who We Are, and all about what you're doing for the body of Christ and the glory of God. I do appreciate your time, man.
Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Love being on.
That is all the time we have for today. For Jake Dobrins and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.